Okay, thanks for the warning, Rush. Thanks. The time is 6 o'clock. You are listening to KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. That was Around the Town Sounds. This is the Mascot Wedding Show. I can just do the entire show like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. First, we're going to listen to some Ty Siegel off the Melted album. This is Imaginary Person. Mascot Wedding Show starts now. Folks, the time is 6:03 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Razzle dazzle. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's show, please do. The phone number is 472-5667. An easy-to-remember form, it is 472-K-O-O-P. We are also on Twitter. We are at Mascot Wedding. You tweets it, I sees it, we reads it. That's how that works out. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it. Nobody else, so quit your bitching. And David Hotta.
Yes, sir.
What did we just hear on the radio?
We just heard Ty Siegel off his Melted album. That was Imaginary Person. Ty Siegel blew the roof off the place last night at Mohawk.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah, I did. And even though it was outdoors, let's pretend there was an imaginary roof, and he blew it off.
There's an awning.
Yeah, blew the awning off the place.
Where the owner is mad.
Oh, what?
Damn you, they just wrecked part of the building.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Ooh, it was like Beethoven's dad got mad at him for eating that delicious cake. We all know Beethoven, right?
The dog?
Yeah.
Wait, Charles Grodin was his dad?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
It was like an adoptive dad.
I'll move that closer to the top of my Netflix queue.
Let's not make this some sort of prevert show, all right?
Okay.
He was a human. Beethoven was a dog. But there was a bond that was like father-son.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
I'm always right about Beethoven.
Hey, guys. We have a special in-studio guest. He writes, or used to write, for The Ellen DeGeneres Show. He was a writer for the Beavis and Butthead relaunch.
Oh, yeah.
He was also part of the much-loved Austin Stories TV show back in the day.
Not enough loved.
And and of course, his most famous accomplishment, he's now my Facebook friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Chip Pope.
Yeah. Hey! Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Am I talking into the right thing?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay.
You're doing great.
He also knows our romance, but never in the same place at the same time.
No, like Janet and Michael Jackson. Increasingly. So,
how did they shoot that screen video? Two.
Well, you know, it's on different coasts, different studios.
Oh, I hear
different
you.
Planets.
I feel like if they currently were in the same place at the same time, we would have heard about it by now. I think Michael Jackson's kind of indisposed at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Does that mean dead?
Uh-huh.
Let's okay. Say.
Well, there was that one appearance that Janet Jackson made after his death where she was literally just a skeleton.
Yeah, that's true.
Incriminating.
I don't read In Touch Weekly, so I don't remember that.
Got to get in touch, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way to do it. Chip, you don't live in Austin anymore. You live in Los Angeles.
No, sir. Yes, I do. Don't hate me, people.
You're fine.
They have there's a predisposition against Los Angeles.
Here? There is?
Oh, it's everywhere.
Probably.
We provide them with entertainment like that movie with Billy Crystal and Bette Midler that just came out. So I can see the contempt. I can see why there's contempt.
Yeah, parental guidance. If I have to see Billy Crystal make that Billy Crystal face one more time, the half Home Alone like this one.
That sort of Jack Benny like, oh boy, oh, I'm
yeah.
tired.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Please don't get him started. Yeah. But what brings you to Austin this time around?
Oh, I was just doing some shows and visiting my mother, who lives here in Austin.
Fair enough.
I love Austin.
It's a pretty cool place.
Yes.
However, also, when you go back to L.A., take us with you.
Yeah.
Wrap us in swaddling clothes and give us jobs.
It's time for some...
There's no radio jobs there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's
Brian
our
Seacrest
number...
has all of them.
Yeah.
That's our number one goal, radio jobs.
Exactly. Man, I'll take anything. It's time for some Big Pond stuff in 2013. We got to get out of here.
Oh, I forgot what a velvet rut this place is.
Exactly.
Velvet rut, explain that to me.
You know, I forget who came up with that, but that's what somebody used to say about Austin, that it's like it's you're in a rut, you know, it's the same thing, but it's so nice.
It's plush.
It's nice and velvety. It's plush.
Man, that's awesome, whoever said that. And also, that's depressing as well.
Well, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it hits so close that it's depressing.
I don't know. You can get in a rut in anywhere you are, really. Los Angeles, you know. You're in an actor, waiter, cater, waiter rut.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Fine, we'll go to Los Angeles.
Okay, guys.
So how's the moms doing? You spend some quality time with the moms?
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
She endorses everything I do. She's one of those moms.
That's just excellent.
Like, if you needed to murder those people, that's what they deserved. You're my little boy. You know, so she's just super nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
You've murdered people?
No.
Okay.
But if I did, she'd be cool.
Sweet.
I wish she was the judge.
Righteous, Mom. I saw Austin Stories back when it was on.
Really?
Yes.
How old? You must have been like 13 or something.
Thereabouts. Been watching it in San Antonio.
Lord. Wow.
I watched a show or whatever, and then there was some reference, to something with Matt Bearden. I was like, Bearden was on that show? The stay-at-home dad of Austin comedy? And so I was watching a clip, and I think I was like staring at Bearden for about 30 seconds before I go, oh my God, that's Matt Bearden. Because he looked so young. Right
yes,
there.
He was very young. I think he's like 3 years younger than I am. Because when I was in my senior year of college, he was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And, or maybe a sophomore. But yeah, he used to do this, he'll deny this, but he used to do this kind of Quentin Tarantino impression in some improv show. And I guess I hear that he hated that impression years later. But that's why I was like, oh, he should be on our show. And his character was named Quentin, you know, after that. But when he did our show, he didn't do any kind of Quentin Tarantino impression at all, which kind of upset me. But then, but then over the long run, it was great.
Do you attribute that to the lack of success of the show? Do you think if he had done
more?
Yeah,
I think it was all Bearden's fault.
I'd blame him.
Yeah, more people would have watched that show.
Yeah.
My second and final.
Attribute lack of internet probably to the.
That's also
the
true.
Of that show.
But that's out of your control.
Yeah. It's just amazing that that show was on at all, though. You know, I got to pinch myself that that ever even happened because who comes and just. When did networks come somewhere and just make a show out of some comics and.
Yeah.
You get to do it from the ground up and it took like 3 years to develop, but. You know, still got to do it. It was on MTV of all places where all the pretty people usually are. And so it was great to that. It's amazing that it was even on at all. So then when like Freaks and Geeks came out a few years later, I was like, oh, I feel like we've already done this. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's also absolutely bonkers that you could live in a city that someone's like, oh, we want to tell your stories. Like, because I grew up in Houston and I can't imagine anyone ever being like, hey, I want to see Houston Stories.
Come on, dude. Reality Bites. There you go. Those were Houston
Reality
Stories.
Bites was from Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. The gal that wrote it, she was from Houston. Yeah. I don't know what she's done lately, but I love Reality Bites. I think it's really underrated.
I think it's pretty good.
Funny movie.
But I don't consider that a Houston movie. the closest thing that's repping Houston right now is like Animal Planet has this Houston Police Cops show where like they bust animal crimes. And it's the saddest thing in the world. That's Houston right now.
It has so much more to offer. Well, my sometime writing partner, Howard Kramer, from Austin Stories, we wrote a pilot that took place in Houston for HBO a few years ago. It didn't get picked up, but it was going to be directed by the Stephen Merchant. But, but the whole thing fell through. But anyway, whatever. Hollywood. Hashtag Hollywood. But,
Houston.
But it was about Army recruiters working out of the Greens Point Mall.
Wow.
Which the Greens Point Mall used to be.
That was my
mall. You
know,
like the mall to go to, and then it became kind of a bad neighborhood, basically, somehow, I guess, over the years.
Oh,
I don't
absolutely.
Because we used to go there when I was a kid, and then it got kind of rough and tumble over there.
Yeah, that's like every mall now.
Yeah.
That's
Is the Highland Mall like that?
Oh, yes. Highland Mall is like barely Highland Mall anymore. Like all the anchor stores left. And now they are selling more and more of it to ACC.
Yes.
So it's going to be a giant community college inside.
Yeah, it's going to be a learning center that still has a hat store and a candy store.
That's crazy.
It's really
that
weird.
That would be an awesome place to go to college.
It would kind of be the best.
Like the last time I went there, they still had every sort of, I don't know what you'd call it.
Ancillary store?
Well, you have, like, in the food court, you have to have these sort of, like, stores, mm-hmm. but they're all, like, weird, generic, one-letter ripoffs of it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they have Planda Express and this steak escapade.
Yeah. You know? This footlong sorbet sandwich.
Set wheel.
The Great American Cookie LLC.
I'll just go here to the Gap.
Garp.
It had an extra G.
I went to Highland Mall the other day or a few months ago to rent a tux because they still have an Alice Formal Wear there. And I was like, okay, I'll go on my lunch break. I'll get there about 11:30. You know, I'll just slip in and out. Got there at 11:30. They had a sign on the window saying, we're not in right now. We'll be back later. I was like, you guys opened at 10. Like, you can't just dictate when you don't get to be here.
Yeah, that's just an hour and a half after they open.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm
good at addition.
You're great.
I grew up in San Antonio, and River Center Mall was kind of like a big deal mall because it was next to the Riverwalk, our tourist trick. And it was like, you know, it was like a nice mall or whatever. And then I went there to do a terrible show at that terrible comedy club there. I walked in and I was like wondering to myself, because, you know, most malls are sort of in decline. I wonder if this mall has been similarly affected because, you know, the Riverwalk still gets a hell of a lot of like tourists and foot traffic. But as soon as I walked in, there was like an everything purple store. Like, we just sell purple stuff. And I was like, that's a terrible mall right here.
Yeah.
And then, like, a comic book and collectible store, which, look, I love comic books, but as soon as you see one of those in the mall, that's not a good sign.
What? Oh, no, yeah.
That's not.
You don't want to buy giant Jar Jar Binks cutouts?
Malls should not. You should have to do more business than baseball card stores do or whatever.
It's true.
Fair enough.
But they have them.
It's crazy that you grew up in San Antonio because you seem like you're from Chicago or something.
Oh, why is that? Okay.
The voice and the beard, maybe. The height. I don't know.
He's a deep dish.
Full disclosure, my dad was in the Air Force, so he moved around a bunch. I never lived in Chicago.
Not that you know.
That I know of.
But we did.
In vitro.
Weird. Shocking revelations today. My final and second question about Austin stories is not really a question. Mm-hmm. How are Kramer's not as tall as I thought he was in person?
Really?
Reactions to that?
But you're like a giant. You're like a Yeti.
Actually, so. I can back this up. He's not as tall as I thought he was either.
Uh-huh.
He seems like a lithe man. He seems
TV
like,
makes people seem that way, huh?
Yeah.
It's like that way if you Skype with someone and you meet them. You go, oh, you're short.
I've never Skyped. Is that a weird thing now? Or am I still hanging on to the curve?
Microsoft.
You probably don't have to.
Yeah. I just hate talking on the phone anyway. So I feel like looking at them while I'm talking on the phone is... Or am I making that up? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, that's Skyping.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, usually you're you know, pleasuring yourself. But.
Fair enough. I can do that without...
Not you. General you.
I can do that without Skype. Thank you very much.
I don't know what you could say on the airwaves. Because, you know, you get to be a comedian. You're so used to podcasts and you can say anything.
Yeah.
But not on the airwaves.
Well, just imagine your mom listening right now.
Exactly.
What we usually
do... She's cool, though.
Wait, that's true.
That's the thing.
Man!
What we usually do is we will do the radio show clean, and then I'll go back in and dirty it up before I turn it into a podcast.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
So when you just said pleasuring yourself right now, I'm going to make it say something.
Oh, okay.
It's going to take about 30 seconds.
Yeah. I like, though, that, you know, since... You know, most people do the podcast, but you got the radio show going. So it's like you're forced to be in their bodies, whether they want it or not. Like right now, we're in someone's pancreas talking and they have no say in it.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Like an old episode of Frasier or whatever. Is there still any TV that goes across the waves?
No.
No, it's all right. It's all in a box, right?
It's all tubes.
So radio is like the last frontier where you can really go through someone.
Yeah, and the best part
without
is
without them.
We
protesting.
We dictate when they hear it, so they could very easily choose to never hear it, which is the case a lot of the times.
But it's in them. But it's in anyone who's in the range of this radio station.
That is true.
Is that still a thing?
So you can't deny that.
Where if you get like fillings, you can pick up the radio in your mouth? Was that ever a thing, or did I just read that?
That might have just been on like on Gilligan's Island.
I think that's
something.
Like an Outer Limits thing. Yeah.
I think I read that in like a novel when I was a kid. Like,
is that a Judy Blume?
Yeah.
Is that Super Fudge?
Are You There, Goddess Me, Super Fudge? Wasn't that a book?
Huh?
Okay.
Yes, that was a novel.
Yeah.
The Further Adventures of Super Fudge.
Fudge became a man in that book.
Encyclopedia
Goosebumps,
Brown.
Maybe. Bring it up to a new generation.
When I was a kid, my parents would buy me anything if it was a book.
Yes, yeah.
So that's like, cool. I was like, hey, I want a G.I. Joe. And they'd be like, no. I'd be like, what about a G.I. Joe book? And it's like, well, all right. Something. But I was like going through some old crap, and I had a couple of G.I. Joe novels, and Arl Stine wrote them.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, which I don't
prolific.
Know. Yeah, exactly.
Collector's item.
Before he was able to branch out on his own terrible book series, he was working for other people.
Sorry, R.L. Paycheck. This is his nickname.
I wish he called himself that. Bring R.L. Paycheck.
A brief aside sort of related to that. There was news that J.J. Abrams is directing the new Star Wars.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into that part, but just... just on a whim, I went to his IMDb page to be like, oh, what else has he done? Just to catch up. He wrote, like, Forever Young, that Mel Gibson movie. Yeah. And wrote
Regarding Henry.
Regarding Henry, and I believe Gone Fishing also.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Gone Fishing sold for, like, $3 billion or something. I remember
wait, what
reading
was Gone
in
Fishing?
Premier Magazine, of all places.
Oh, wow.
It was a Danny Glover movie. They sold a lot.
They
sold it
right?
for a lot of money.
Oh
yeah, but it was written in the early 90s. It was one of those things when people would sell spec scripts for like $3 or $4 million. And J.J. Abrams was like the young, you know, he was maybe like 25 or 26 when he wrote like Regarding Henry and Gone Fishing, which I think.
So I think that'd be great to like.
Made negative money. I'm not sure.
I wish I had not known that and somehow stumbled across Gone Fishing. And you've been like, J.J. Abrams wrote this? This has to be great. Like, this groundswell of Gone Fishing support now.
I'm the director of Gone Fishing.
Didn't he also write, like, a Golden Girls episode or something like that?
Tarantino did.
What?
Oh, no, wait, he was in a Golden Girls episode.
Yeah.
Oh, interessante.
He might have written
that
it,
that was the Golden Girls episode that was, like, a Tarantino movie. It started great, it was really boring in the middle, and then it ended great.
That's those are all episodes of Golden Girls too.
Hey, wait, that one movie wasn't like, wait, no yeah
they're all like that. I'm serious. Even the great ones, Pulp Fiction, I dare you to sit through that conversation with Bruce Willis and the French chick.
Oh, that thing.
Just like right smack dab in the middle of that thing.
No sir, no.
Well, I don't know, I think Django's kind of solid all the way through.
Oh yeah, I like Django.
Yeah,
I don't know, I thought I had a saggy little middle there.
Well, that's just going to happen when it's almost 3 hours. I think you're going to get a little bottom fatigue.
It doesn't have to happen.
Look.
That's true.
You're a pro. We're just rubes over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just Johnny audience.
Nothing against Quentin Tarantino. Clearly, he's awesome. Look, but, he has his little formula sometimes doesn't...
All right, Army Archer. I just I didn't know we were talking to Hollywood over here. That's fine.
No, I didn't. I'm just saying. Like when you watch Inglourious Basterds or something. Can you say that?
Yeah,
when
sure.
when you're watching that, it's like it is really well written. But when you boil down some of the conversations, they're just like, "Do you have Nazis in your house? No, I don't. Are you sure? Nope. What about now? Oh, nope." You know what I mean? It's the same thing as like that movie Doubt, you know, with Meryl Streep. Which
oh,
is
sure.
Amazing, a great movie. But the plot of that is like, did you have sex with those little boys? No. Okay. What about now? No. 30 minutes later. What about now? No.
See,
I have
you're
doubts.
Leaving out a part of that.
That's this whole plot.
It's a little inaccurate. It was more like, did you have sex with those boys? No. What's up with your fingernails? They're a little long. Did you have sex with those boys? And then the rest was accurate.
Exactly.
There was a weird part about his long nails.
I haven't seen it yet.
He was like, all right, guys, let's keep...
Spoiler alert.
Let's talk about hygiene for a second. I see a lot of dirty nails around here. Look at mine. I keep them clean.
Weird.
Yeah. And then at the end, she was like, clip your nails. Like, I don't know. It was a thing.
I guess because it was the 50s.
Yeah.
Or early 60s, which one I forget.
Can't have long nails back then.
That didn't end up being like a thing at the end where it's like, we found your nails dug into them.
Nope.
No, you would think.
Yeah. I sure thought.
You think if there are dirty nails in the first act, they'll come back in the third act.
Yeah, it's like it's the gun principle.
Exactly.
You got to use the fingernails.
I was listening to NPR this week and yesterday. Yeah. And they made, apparently, there was a thing yesterday about how Doubt is now an opera.
Oh, really?
Like the guy who wrote the play, who also adapted for a movie, also wrote an opera. And they played like 2 seconds of the singing. And it was like, you know, I'm going to butcher this, but it's like, I have doubts or something. It's like, this is a joke, right?
That's crazy. He's a great writer, though. Oh, man.
John Patrick Shanley.
Yeah.
John
he's
Doubt.
He's great.
John Doubt. Johnny Doubt.
Yeah.
Even like that movie with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, where she's playing like the different people. Joe versus the Volcano. Wow. That movie is totally underrated. He wrote and directed
that. He wrote that?
Yeah, that's a real weird movie to be a major studio movie.
Yeah.
That one just kind of slipped in.
Oh, that's kind of around that time.
Yeah, because it's about a guy who wanted to kill himself because he had a brain cloud.
The whole thing is nuts. The whole opening an office and everything, and then they get to the island and they love the soda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Wasn't it like Sunkist or Fanta or something like that?
It was like orange soda.
Jump or something. Yeah. I don't know. But it's just crazy that whole, like, they worship the soda.
Man.
I saw that jump in the volcano.
I saw that it's in theaters. I don't think I've seen it since.
Oh.
So I was like seven.
Watch it again for the first time.
Yeah, there's a new.
It really is.
Yeah. There are new layers to it that you'll enjoy.
So, guys, if you're listening at home, and gals as well, here's what you're going to watch tonight. You're going to watch Doubt, Joe versus Volcano, and then pick a Tarantino movie.
There you go.
But not Death
Oh,
Proof.
And The Weatherman with Nicolas Cage. I'm totally into like underrated big major movies that just like fail. It's excellent. And it's Nicolas Cage being weird, which you don't see all the time. Usually he's trying to be like the action hero and he still is weird, but he's not trying to be weird. He's just a weird weatherman that gets no respect. People throw fast food items at him from out of their car windows. Michael Caine plays his father. Nicolas Cage is reading lyrics from Bob Seger's Like a Rock at Michael Caine's living wake. You know, it just has these crazy scenes that are great. And it's just a character study. Just underrated.
Did Michael Caine do an American accent in that movie?
Yeah.
Whoa, does he pull that off?
Yeah.
I
don't remember, but
and that's Gore Verbinski, right?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what, that's
yeah,
exactly
it's
what
crazy.
What had kept me from watching it though.
Well, but where does that fall in the Verbinski pattern? Because I feel like he does one good movie, one bad movie.
I like The Ring.
I thought it was great.
Did you like The Mexican?
I liked The Mexican. I didn't like The Ring.
I never saw The Mexican.
The Ring was laughably bad.
I did see. It spooked me when I was a kid.
Well, you're a kid.
I also didn't care much for Mousetrap.
Mousetrap wasn't for me.
Well, the children's movie?
It was for Mousetrap enthusiasts.
Mouse Hunt. Mouse Hunt.
Yes, Mouse Hunt.
They probably are making a movie out of Mousetrap, though, that game, right?
Yeah.
They're making everything else.
That would kind of be a fun movie.
Who'd play the old man who goes in the pan? That's the real question.
Brian Cox.
S. Sapatha Murkison.
Is F. Murray Abraham still available?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Probably.
Speaking of the J.J. Abrams, the weird things he wrote, and Mice, Stuart Little, the movie... I think co-scripted or screenplay by whatever, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Shyamalan.
7-Eleven.
It's such a dumb radio trap to be like, M. Night Shyamalan, what now? Oh, boy. I walked right into it.
Dish Nation. M. Night 7-Eleven. That's what I say. Is that bad? Probably.
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty racist.
I just want to, it's not an endorsement. It's like Zero Dark 30. It's not an endorsement of torture.
I'll talk about that later.
Sure.
Or we can talk about it right
now.
Talk
about it now.
Okay.
We got time. You're a grown man.
So I finally saw Zero Dark 30. And as I was watching the movie, they got closer to killing Bin Laden. It happens.
Yeah.
The boat sinks. And then as they got closer to the moment, and this is a kind of a weird tonal shift in this radio show, but I found myself very much wanting to see him dead. Like it was like a weird cathartic thing where I was watching the movie and I realized that I was like really looking forward to, which is a weird thing to realize. And also the movie, that's not what the movie gives you. It wasn't like Osama bin Laden didn't have his like finger on the button of like a America bomb.
Yeah.
And he's like, bin Laden. He's like, yes. And he goes, F you. Like it wasn't like that kind of moment. Like it was over so fast and like you don't even really get a full shot of his face or something like that.
Right.
But I was like sitting there in the theater because it's a tense movie and you know, you see some characters die. And of course, like at the beginning of the movie, they play like a 911 call from one of the Twin Towers.
Yes.
So instantly you get this, you know, you're sort of sucked into it. And I feel like the movie, if it's about anything, it's sort of like the hollowness of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, because it's like, hey, Osama bin Laden's dead. Now what?
Yeah.
And like even the character, Jessica Chastain's character, I don't even know her name. Jessie? In that
Libby.
Okay. I think her name was Composite.
Yes. definitely. Spelled weird, too.
So did you end up seeing the body at the end, like when they shot him?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it's not like they
didn't... So it is fiction. I don't know. Thank you. Those...
Welcome to
the
K
Man doesn't want you to know.
Those Bin Laden truthers.
Welcome to K Truth Radio.
But you know, Mac, it's probably because you feel that catharsis because you have like eight, you know, however long it was, what, 11 years of wait, 11? What's 2012? 2011? 10
12
years?
12 years?
Yeah.
10 or whatever, however many years like wanting that guy to be dead that you've never met, that's a horrible terrorist. And you're like, so it's all. Whether you really feel that palpable tension in your own life for like 10 years, it's still, it's like, it's a catharsis because it's like a finality or however the extent of what they're telling us about it before whatever real story comes out 20 years from now.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I was kind of surprised by it.
Yeah.
In myself. Cause I remember where I was when I found out that he died. Cause I was on a plane coming back from Boston to Austin, and these Israeli guys next to me, and I'm not going to do the voice, but they were talking like real excited, and they turned over and he's like, "Hey, did you hear about Bin Laden?" And like, I didn't know that. My first thought wasn't like they killed him. My first thought was, "Oh no, he took over another plane."
Right, right.
And then my second thought was, "Oh no, he took over this plane," and you're just the most... like incredulous man ever. Like, "Hey, did you hear about Bin Laden? Yeah, took over our plane.
He's flying it."
Can you believe that guy? The balls on him. I had plans to do today. That's out the window. Hope we crash somewhere cool.
All right. Wouldn't be too far on that
then,
one.
But then, okay. But then later, he was like, "Oh, that, you know." Later, a second later.
Yes.
He's like, "Oh, he was killed," and I was like, "Oh, weird."
Yeah. Well, because there was no instant gratification to it, like. There was no Independence Day where Randy Quaid shoots the big ship and everything ends and you're like, "Yay, it's over." It was just kind of like Bin Laden dies. You're like, "Cool, so I guess we'll pull out the troops in 3 years." Like,
It was weird. And then we dumped them in the ocean. Like, what? Huh? There's a lot that was just kind of weird about the whole thing.
Yeah,
that we'll find out later. Were you when you heard?
I was at home.
How are you at home? Oh, you took an earlier flight.
What?
Did we come back from?
I took a morning flight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I took a morning flight and I was just at home recovering from jet lag, and I saw it on Twitter. It was like,
Wow!
I think The Rock was one.
Oh, The Rock broke it.
Yeah, The Rock broke the story.
Wow! Before
it's pretty cool.
It broke. He was like, "SEAL Team 6, good job, guys!" Like # Team Bring It or something like that.
And I saw that thing just massively retweeted. And I was like, "Oh, The Rock saying I got to watch the news now." And sure enough. Why is that guy not our next president?
No kidding.
He's born in Hawaii.
He can play it all. That's true.
Find the long form.
Where's that birth certificate, The Rock? I don't know if you're able to be our heavyweight champion. Let's take a break.
He did it all.
He does. Does he sing?
He plays a tooth fairy and he plays a wrestler.
He croons. He had this one song about the Big Show's haircut. It was pretty good.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Hakuna Matata.
Yes. Hey, guys. I don't know how exactly you say the name of this band. It's MSMR or Ms. Mister. I'm not sure. But off of the Candy Bar Creepshow EP, this is Hurricane. Mascot Wedding Show coming back.
Didn't know what this would be, but I knew I didn't see what you thought you saw.
And we're back with more Mascot Winning Show. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake, special and studio guest.
Oh, Chip Pope. I didn't see that you were pointing. I thought you were just going to say it.
No, we like to give
very
you a little...
very unprofessional.
A little bit of rope. Just to let you feel like this is your show.
Chip Pope. A dumb name, as Louis C.K. once told me.
Hey, all right.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah, because he's got the best name, too.
What was the... the context for him telling you he had a stupid name?
I like brought him up on a show that I was hosting, and he just went off for about 5 minutes how it was a dumb name.
Thanks, guy.
But he also gave me like great advice one time too. So I can't fault that guy.
Evens out.
And then also after he said it's a dumb name, this guy Craig Anton, he was like, "Come on, the first set Louis did on stage was Bill Cosby routine. That guy. Which is a true story. He didn't know that you just didn't go up and do somebody else's routine.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So when he was like 17 or 18 or whatever it was, he just did like Bill Cosby verbatim. Uh-huh. And then got off stage and the club owner's like, what was that? It's funny, right? He's like, yeah, but it's a Bill Cosby thing. And he didn't know. And I've heard of other people had did that too, that started mm-hmm. out that I can't remember.
Well, what's his name?
Probably Bill Cosby. But
Carlos Mencia just like bought a joke book, right? Wasn't that his story?
Something like that, yeah.
And of course, he's got other issues.
And he had that proud legacy of stealing ever since.
Yep. My sister asked me that all the time. She's like, why don't people just go up and do other people's jokes? And she's like, why don't you just like cover someone else's routine? Which I think is a subtle way of being like, hey, stop doing this.
That's like a cruise thing to do.
Did your family ever go like, who said that? Like whenever you say something funny, that's what my family always used to be like, where'd you hear that? Who said that? Like I was incapable of.
No, they'll be like, that's so funny. You know, you could do like a thing with that. And then they'll riff on it for 30 minutes and they'll be like, cool, thanks guys. Quietly retreat into the darkness. How you doing, David Hatta?
I'm doing okay. I actually had a couple things I want to talk about.
One, oh, please, lay it on us.
I had a question for both of you, as a matter of fact. Something happen this week. Let me start from the start.
Is it bad news? Because I can't take it, David.
No. You take both pills at once.
Darn it. I got to shave again. You're familiar with those people around tax time who stand outside the tax offices?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're dressed like Uncle Sam. Maybe they're dressed like the Statue of Liberty. They're trying to get you into the business. Are you familiar with this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's weird when they are happy to be out there.
Okay. That was my next question for you. Would you rather they hate their job or would you rather they like their job a little too much?
So I can't choose option C, that job goes away?
No, you can't.
Okay.
We're stuck in a universe where this is a thing.
I guess I'd rather they seem to like it because I always like it when you see people caring about their jobs, even if it's like really terrible jobs.
Oh, me too.
It's so refreshing to have someone give an S.
Okay.
Life is hard enough, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like when you see someone that's like making the most of it.
Sure.
It's like, great.
Well, follow-up question. Would you be okay if they, like, genuinely thought they were being funny?
Well, what are some of their behaviors? Because usually they're kind of like just point and wave. So do you think, in this scenario, they think they're funny just because they're dressed like the Statue of Liberty or Uncle Sam?
Was he making, like, Uncle Sam jokes? Or?
Well, I'll reveal the thing. I've stepped around it too much. So by my place, there is a tax office, and there is a gentleman who stands out there dressed like...
You lucky devil.
I know. I'm living pretty great. And there's a gentleman who stands out there dressed like the Statue of Liberty. And I was driving by the other day, and he had two beach balls under his Statue of Liberty gown, like they were, if I may say on the radio, breasts. And he was having a good old time with these beach balls, and he looked like he was enjoying it. And there was a part of me that was driving by, and I was like... Oh, man, I think someone's going to be offended by that.
Yeah.
But then by saying that, I wondered, am I offended by that? Like, I really had to search my soul to see if I think I might not like what he's doing out there.
Yeah.
It just seems like a weird transition to go from seeing somebody dressed up outside a tax place to then patronizing that tax place.
Yes. Yeah. That's also
especially
true.
Especially if they're fondling Are you sure they work there?
So there's some rogue agent from another tax place?
Yeah.
Was he doing anything with these fake boobs?
Block people.
At one point, he did lift one up and extend his tongue.
Are you? What?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Thank you. I felt weird about it.
That is weird.
And
if he just had like lady, you know, beach balls, that's probably not. That's just part of the outfit.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you got to do crazy stuff with them,
yeah.
Were they the classic blue, white, red, and yellow beach balls?
Well, they were under the robe.
Oh, because they were completely contained with under the robe.
Yes.
Wow, this guy's a showman.
Yeah, he's going method on this one.
I was in New Orleans last weekend, and I was driving back. With my buddy Sam Malcolm.
Ooh, and, friend of the show.
Yes, friend of the show. Bro of the show, Sam Malcolm.
Yes.
And he was like, hey, let's stop, because we're getting an early start. And he's like, let's stop at a fast food place and get breakfast, because fast food breakfast is the best.
Yes.
And I could not disagree with him. And so we stopped at a McDonald's in, I don't know, it's like Laplace. Louisiana. It looks like L.A. Place.
Okay.
But I don't know how you say it because I'm stupid. I walked in this McDonald's, and it was like a really busy McDonald's, but there was a large guy behind the counter that was clearly like the manager because he was not dressed like a McDonald's employee, and he was like telling everyone what to do. And at one point, the lady who was about to take my order, he like pulled her aside, and he's like, okay, hey, look, if you're about to take an order, you got to keep loose. You got to be moving. And he started like juking back and forth. He's like, you got to keep it loose. Now, tell you what, take care of my man here. And he pointed to me. And he's like, you got to lock it down. Take care of my man here. And I was like, hey, all right. I like this guy.
Yeah.
And everything seemed to be moving and people seemed to be into it. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. But however, it was still a terrible McDonald's. Like they screwed up my order. They screwed up Sam's order. And he was talking to somebody else. And this young McDonald's employee with like gloves and like some cleaner spray was walking by. He's like, girl, let me holler at you for a second. And she comes over and he goes, you're dragging this morning. You were at the clubs last night, weren't you? And she's like, no. He's like, yeah, you were. I saw you there.
Oh.
And she's like, no, I wasn't. He's like, yeah, you were drinking some Appletinis, weren't you? She's like, no. He's like, yeah, I saw you. I saw you were dancing. She's like, I'm not dancing in any club. But I like that strategy of being like, hey, David, you were out drinking last night, right?
What? No.
I know, because I saw you there.
Oh, no.
Classic cool boss move. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Don't apologize. What's your name, caller?
I'm Heather.
Heather, what can we do for you?
Is Chip Pope on the radio right now?
Chip, are you on the radio right now?
Uh-huh.
Chip Pope.
Turn down your radio. Heather Kafka. Why are you listening to community radio?
Thanks, Chip.
You're not a part of this community.
You're not a part of this community anymore.
Oh, how dare you.
I still am in my heart.
What are you? What are you doing?
What does that mean?
I'm glad.
Well, I did. That's a very open-ended question.
What has it come to?
You know what?
What does that mean?
I can take it that you guys are really good friends.
Uh-huh.
We're very good friends.
Uh-huh.
We're like those people on Kashi Good Friends cereal. That's how good we are.
Oh,
wow. We did a modeling sesh with that.
Were you guys part of a comedy team whose bit was to crap on the people in the other room? Is that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, yeah. Exactly. She just tells it like it is.
Sure.
Well, no, I was doing a comedy show, and one of the hosts of this show saw it and asked me if I'd do his show, and I said yes because
that's
how life is fun when you say yes. Did you know that?
That's crazy balls.
You should have said no. Did you know that, Heather?
No, I did not.
Oh, see? You got to say yes.
But that's what I was going to say, and then you said say no.
Well, for comedy, yeah. You see.
Hi.
Heather, we should take this on the road.
Yeah. Heather, anything else?
No, that's it. It was just really weird that I was driving down the road and Chip was on my radio. I find it very odd.
Well, that's good.
So you normally listen to the show?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
She's good.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
We're all inside you. She was on Austin Stories. She played the waitress on Austin Stories that Chip had the crush on.
Oh.
And
where?
With the kind of cat glasses.
Oh, at the Hernandez Coffee?
Cafe. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So there you go.
She had a name, Chip.
Yeah, it was Chloe. Named after Chloe Sevigny. I was really into naming characters after pop culture people. So we had Quentin and Chloe Sevigny. Heather.
Well, I just called to bug you guys.
Mission accomplished.
You did it.
It's working, right?
I like it.
I'm sure everybody out there is very glad that I called in.
I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm all right with it.
Text me later. Text me late.
B minus, I guess.
Yeah. Needs improvement.
Heather?
She's a very accomplished actress, by the way.
Oh, really?
A lot of things. Yeah. Chainsaw Massacre, CSI.
The Texas one or
Sundance?
Boston.
What was the one with Lovers of Hate? Is that what it's called, right?
That's right.
Lovers of Hate. Yeah. She's
got any projects in the pipeline?
I'm in a short film called Black Metal that just went to
Sundance. Oh, congratulations. Yes. I saw it. I liked it.
Thank you. I just shot a day on Terrence Malick's film.
See?
With Ryan Gosling and Michael Fassbender.
That's why you're asking me what I'm doing with myself. Exactly.
And
did you see his wang?
I just
not Terrence Malick, Michael
Gordon Green on Joe. in which I play Nicolas Cage's personal prostitute for the night.
What? Wait, where? Gross. You're getting typecast. Where though? That was in real life, right? That's not a movie.
Yeah, that's how I get places in my career.
All right, you can't tease us with Natala with Nicolas Cage and then talk about him. So do you have any awesome Nicolas Cage stories?
He's pretty awesome. He's a big dude.
For example?
Well, we had this scene that we didn't have.
Keep it clean.
It'll be clean. But when we start, well, maybe it can't be clean. Okay. So when we start the scene, there's no dialogue between us, and he wanted to add this dialogue. And basically, he's coming upstairs with me. I'm a prostitute, and he's going to get a certain thing performed upon him.
Okay.
And, you know, two letters.
Sure.
A-T-O.
H-J.
Yeah. So we're going into the room, and he comes up with this dialogue where he wants to just talk about stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with sexual activity.
With the Bartles and James?
He wants to say, like, yeah, with the Bartles and James.
Got it.
He wants to say, so do you have a cat? And I say, no. I used to have a cat. Well, what'd you feed it? I don't know. Dry food. What's your favorite color? Blue. And then he says, just give me the Bartles and James. And he sits down in the chair, and he's ready to go.
Whoa.
He told me, and everybody laughs uproariously because it's hilarious, right? And then he told me later that he wanted to put that in the movie because it was based on a night that he had in real life with Charlie Sheen in a hotel with several hookers.
Wow. Several.
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 I think one of our several goals on the hookers show today was slander, and we did it.
Yay! And we can look forward to your appearance on Mr. Skin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, another
that's awesome
film that my parents will not be able to see.
Yeah, what's it called again?
Actually, it's called Joe.
Oh, okay. Is that
not a press chip?
Yeah, I don't know. There was one called Joe with Peter Boyle.
With Peter Boyle, that's right. Yeah, it was this bigot.
Is this a remake?
And so, but this is one with Nicolas Cage as being cool and weird, like Lieutenant,
like Bad Lieutenant,
like Bad Lieutenant Part 2, which is amazing.
Part 2.
I saw David Gordon Green at Sundance, and he said it's turning out to be pretty dark, which is
awesome.
Made us all pretty happy. Actually.
What does his hair look like in the movie?
Nicholas's hair.
Yes. Oh, Nicholas.
Wow.
It's kind of.
Is it terrifying or just terrible?
No, it's not bad. It's just like slicked back. Our characters are very white trash.
Cool.
So. Well, as long as there's a scene like the one where he is terrorizing that old lady in the nursing home after opening the door creepily while shaving himself with an electric razor. Oh, my gosh.
I think that was the worst thing I've ever laughed at.
Cage. That's the best. It's the best.
He brings some terrorizing to this film as well.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, Heather. That'll be good. Thank you for calling in. You have yourself a good night.
Tell him I love the weatherman.
Okay. Okay, I'll be sure to tell him that, Chip. Have fun.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Boom. Look at that.
By the weatherman, I mean insert local weatherman's name here.
Yes.
Yeah, all of those ones we love.
Jim Dobbins. Is that a guy?
Brendan Smergle.
Brendan Smergle.
Yes.
Hey.
Donnie Doppler.
Ken Dawkins.
Who?
I don't know. I should know a weatherman.
Ken Dougals.
Even though I never watched The Weather. There was that one Jim.
Weather with Jim Fitz.
Britt Gibbles.
I think
you were just like, you know that local weatherman? You go, yeah, Jim. Then people would be like, yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, classic Jim
Trueheart.
Yes. He was also a Dick Tracy love interest, I believe.
Betrayed him, though, at the end. And a twist of name.
Here's what kind of bothers me about that call, though.
What's that?
That was a great call. Where are these people every other week? I want more calls.
Do people not call that much?
Never.
Wow.
Never call us.
But that was like a personal phone call of someone who just happened to hear me on the radio.
It really kind of was a personal
And it took
phone
me
call.
A second. To, yeah, I was like, oh, she was in Sundance last weekend. I haven't gotten to see her since I've been on this trip. And so, you know, that was pretty good.
So I'm going to put this show down as having two celebs on it.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who else could call? You never know who might be listening.
Oh, perhaps Robert Rodriguez?
No.
Please don't.
Oh my gosh, that guy's terrible.
I get some things to yell at him.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I love whatever it was in Machete, like before it was Machete.
Oh,
what was the one with the girl with the gun in her leg or whatever?
Oh, Planet Terror.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of that movie.
That was fun.
Because it was like a grindhouse movie. Quentin Tarantino's movie, I don't know what the grindhouse part was. I don't remember.
It grinded on my patience.
A bunch of gals talking as a genre.
I don't know if Planet Terror, I kind of want to see it on its own. Because compared to like Death Proof, that movie was so boring. Mm-hmm. As I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but we saw it together, David and I. And at one point we were looking around the theater because we were so bored by what was on the screen.
Trying to see if everybody else is bored.
Exactly. Maybe that guy's got a cool app that he's messing with. Because this round table discussion of I don't know.
Golly.
Yeah, it's so terrible. Yeah. But you're right. That's a classic, like start out strong, have such a boring middle, and then end
and then
fun.
That great ending. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that ending couldn't even save the previous 70 minutes. That's a shame. Uh-huh. Yeah, what's he doing?
I don't know. Rodriguez knows what he's doing, though. He just kind of needs to divide the labor up a little bit, I think, sometimes.
Well, he knows what he's doing in what regard. Is he making money?
He's a filmmaker.
Getting movies made again and again? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he's... but come on, I don't know.
Well, I mean...
He's a good filmmaker.
Is he? I couldn't finish Machete.
Like, entertaining. You know, Sin City, it's entertaining.
Yeah, but that was like...
That was like hand-delivered to him. Like, he basically just took Frank Miller's comic and just
See, that's what I'm saying. If he divides up the labor. I think sometimes if he does everything, it won't turn out as well as...
Yeah,
I'll agree to that.
I see your point, you know? Yeah.
I couldn't make it through a Machete.
Nor should you.
I thought it was pretty fun.
But I like... Quintino?
Quintino.
I don't got time to say all the words, guys. Uh-huh. When Quintino wrote Dust Till Dawn, I like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was a fun one. And my girlfriend's one of her favorite movies is The Faculty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which I know.
Wow. Yeah,
sitting near my TV, and we're going to watch it one of these days. Not looking forward to it, I'll be honest with you.
But was everybody bored during Death Proof when you looked around the theater, or what?
I don't know.
It's a tough call because
what's the most? I'll tell you mine. You tell me yours, the most kind of difficult movie that an audience watched and had like a lot of walkouts and wasn't what they were expecting that you ever saw.
Ooh, well, we've told this story before on the radio,
but a movie that's not almost like
that's supposed to be good.
Tell me yours. No.
Honestly, I don't. I can think of a movie where I walked out of it with my dad. But I can't think of a movie that I saw a lot of walkouts during.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What would your answer be?
Well, my first answer was going to be the time that we saw The Devil's Rejects.
Oh, my Lord.
And someone actually took a phone call during the movie in the audience, and we were super okay with it.
We didn't care.
It was like, you might as well.
Yeah, wow. Go for it.
Was that, who was that? Was that Rob Zombie?
Yeah. Okay. That was his middle budget follow-up to House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah. Wow. But I'd have to say I saw a lot of like... jostling in their chair and kind of being wriggling and being uncomfortable during Gus Van Sant's Elephant.
Oh, was that the Columbine?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, not so good.
What is your...
this is weird because it's not... It's the most... It's a kind of benign movie. It's a brilliant movie, I think. But The Informant with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is, I think the way that movie was marketed, like it's a fun night at the movies with Matt Damon. And then it's just one of those Soderbergh movies that should only play on three screens. You know, it's like one of those that he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does the ones that should, they made it look like it's Ocean's 11, but it's really like, you know, The Underneath or something, you know, like one made for like a limited audience.
Yeah.
And so there just, I remember halfway through it, just looking around, people just looked bored. There were like people walking out. There was this girl looking at her boyfriend like, why did you bring me to this? You know? So, which is crazy because I thought that movie is just genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely was marketed as like the wacky informant. But instead it was like, oh, this weird character study or something. I also felt...
And then like all the comedians playing straight...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight roles.
That was
which I thought
choice.
Was genius too. Yeah. But that's very meta to have 10 funny people playing just... roles with no laughs. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I also felt that way about Burn After Reading. I thought that would, like, the fact that there was no conspiracy or something like that.
Right.
It was just a bunch of, like, sort of desperate people.
Yeah, just looking for some intrigue in their lives and finding, like, completely coming up empty.
Yeah, I was so excited for that. And then, but you know what? It's not that it was bad. It just wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Well, you're coming off the heels of No Country for Old Men with that one. So
awesome. America just wanted to laugh again.
Expectations are high.
I just wanted to have a chuckle fest. Hey, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we do. Chip Hope, what do you got coming up, and how can people reach you?
They can go to Facebook and see Chip Pope on Facebook or on Twitter.
You're at Chip Pope.
I'll be at the Austin Java House tonight over on 12th, and not just enjoying coffee, but also as part of a show that they have there.
That's right, the Laugh Lounge.
Yes.
And 12th and Lamar, I think that starts at 8, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, double time it on over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hosted by Duncan Carson, a.k.a. not a.k.a. and or BK O'Grady.
Yes.
So there you go. Fun show.
Yeah.
Chip, thank you so much for coming
thank
on the show.
Thank you, guys. Yes, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
We will clap.
For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com, email us mascotwedding@gmail.com, or on Facebook or on Twitter at Mascot Wedding. I'll go out with this, and then we'll fade it down because I don't want to step on Linda's time. Linda's got an episode of The Clear Spot, an episode.
Uh-huh.
Shut up, David. We're going out with Swearin' off the self-titled album. This is the first track off it. It's called One. Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, Chip.
Bye.
Goodbye, Austin. We'll see you next week. Boop.